Wait a minute. Chris Morales is going to tell us what the highest rated segment on the show is?
He's going to make it about him. It'll be something that has to do with him.
Somehow. Yeah, today's the trial of Michael Thompson.
The ratings info, you know.
Yeah, no.
Quicker than we do.
I'm excited to find out. So thanks a lot for being out there. Thanks a lot for listening. The Michael Thompson trial is coming up for you a little bit later on in the show. People remember the incident from Wednesday where Michael Thompson allegedly, so far it's allegedly cheated on Game of Games.
Right, and we'll get to that. But I'm told Michael is already in the building. Is that true, Jorge? Wow.
Yep, he's sitting in there.
Michael, can you hear us? Are you listening in? All right, he's not there.
Not yet.
Okay.
He's planning a defense.
No. Well, before we get to any of that, the reason I wanted to loop Michael in off the top is that the Lakers have signed Damian Jones. And
yeah,
Michael,
that's right.
Michael knows a lot about him.
That signing.
Okay, so Mike, Damian won two rings with the Warriors, right? And Clay knows him?
Yeah.
What can you tell us about him?
Great guy, great character person, springy, a lot of potential. I thought he was going to be sort of like a JaVale McGee kind of guy, just could protect the rim, run the floor, rim run, pick and roll. So he's still young, still raw, but I like the fact that they brought him on to see if he could what he could give him for the next 10 days because he can protect the basket. That boy can leap.
Okay,
yeah,
he blocked about
one shot a game in that last year in Golden State, 2018-2019. So he does have that sort of rim protector kind of thing going on.
Yeah, he's one of the best jumping big men in the game.
It's interesting that, Michael, you use the JaVale McGee comparison because, Mace, that's what you've been arguing for.
Exactly right. That's what I've been saying. They need front court depth, and they need a guy to protect the rim the way JaVale and the way Dwight Howard did last year. I think it's one of the missing pieces of that defense. It's a 10-day contract, but you know what? Here's a chance for him to shine and earn that role.
That's right. Put him out there. See what he can do. It's easy to play with a great player like LeBron because he makes your job so simple.
And tonight, I never know how the coaches are going to treat these 10-day contracts. Sometimes they, you know, coaches, like, and Frank will talk before the game tonight, Frank Vogel, and he'll say, he hasn't even had a practice yet. And, Michael, the story I always tell is, practice, schmactice, when you came to the Lakers, you arrived on a Sunday morning. Tell that story. So Michael is playing in San Antonio.
Right.
And this is Mace at the time when the Lakers and Celtics were the top of the NBA. No one else could touch him.
Yep.
This was in 1987. Jerry West trades for Michael Thompson, who's known as a big man that can help the Lakers right away. So, Michael, you get traded. You fly in the morning to LAX and pick it up from there.
So I get to the Airport Park Hotel Saturday evening. Sunday morning, I get a call at like 7:30 a.m. The Airport Park used to be right across the street from the Forum. And I get a call in the morning around 7:30. Hey, Michael, I'll meet you at the arena in about 1 hour. That was Bill Burka. You know Bill Burka.
Sure, Bill Burka.
Still working for the Lakers into his
90s. Amazingly, yeah.
Into his 90s, playing basketball. Still pick up basketball into his 80s. That's how cool Bill Burka was. Anyway,
just a great guy.
The game was at 12:30 in the afternoon because it was a matinee game on ABC. Marquee game, of course, because the Celtics and Lakers. So 8:30, I had to go over to the arena. And Bill went over about 10 plays with me and said, these are the plays that we're going to run in case you get into the game.
And at this point, you hadn't even met your teammates, right?
No. I knew, of course. They used to whoop on me all the time when I played against them. But no, the players hadn't arrived yet. The players weren't going to be until around 10 a.m. So Bill Burke and I was over there 2 hours before time just going over the plays and told me, okay, that's it. We expect game time's at so-and-so. We'll see you then.
Yeah, game time was at 12:30.
Yeah.
And then what happened in the game?
I'm sitting on the bench going, oh, this is pretty cool. I get to watch the Celtics and Lakers play firsthand right here sitting on the bench in my Laker uniform. Next thing I hear is, Michael! I said, who just called me? Wait a minute, that's Pat Riley. He's calling me.
Wow.
And I had to go in the game in the first quarter to sub in for Kareem, who I thought I should have been starting in front of anyway. But anyway,
sure, of course.
But I digress. And so I had to go out there and play. I played like 24 or 5 minutes against – that was my introduction as a Laker playing against the great Celtic team with McHale and Parrish.
And do you happen to remember your line from that game?
Let me see if I can vaguely remember. I think I was 5 of 7 for 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 blocks. But who remembers?
Right. Yeah, who now, keeps track of that? Yeah.
Mace, this is my long way of saying, I hope Frank is not hesitant to throw Damian Jones in there. Yusuf Nurkic is out tonight for the Blazers. By the way, we should we assume you guys know this stuff, but the Lakers play the Blazers 7 o'clock tonight. We have the game. Michael and I will be on the call of the game tonight. And Damian Jones, the guy we're talking about, the Lakers signed to a 10-day contract, which means the Lakers get him for 10 days. It's kind of like an audition, a trial.
Yeah.
And Mace, this is the type of team with Yusuf Nurkic out that Damian Jones could be helpful in, because Hassan Whiteside's gone. He's in Sacramento now, right?
Yeah, Hassan Whiteside is in Sacramento. That's one of the guys that Woj just said, well, that's maybe a guy that the Lakers will target once they get to the buyout market or the trade market.
The guys tonight are Enes Kanter.
Who is a beast, right? Who is just rebounding the hell out of the ball.
Right, and he's really their only big. Like, Michael, they haven't been playing Harry Giles, but he's more an away from the basket big.
Yeah, and he's nothing to be worried about.
But this is, you know, Kanter is really the only size, he's the only guy over 6'8", that the Blazers have on their roster tonight. So this, don't you think this would be a game where Damian Jones could help?
Oh, yeah, I'd put him out there for a few minutes, see what he's got. He'll be nervous, but a couple of lob dunks, and he'll loosen right up.
So, Michael, I want to ask you, yesterday, I know you're a regular listener to the show.
Of course.
Yesterday, and I actually got a text from a friend who said, wow, you and Ireland really went out it yesterday at the beginning of the show.
About what?
About the Lakers' performance against Utah.
I say we each get 30 seconds to state our case, and I will let you decide who goes first.
John, you go first.
Okay. Michael, Mason accused the Lakers of having lack of defensive intensity and basically not hustling. He says they're not giving effort. And my argument was, nobody looks good against Utah right now. They're running it up against everybody. Utah's the hottest team in the league. And when you take away Anthony Davis and you take away Dennis Schroeder, you can't expect the Lakers to compete with a team like Utah. Mace, that's my position.
Okay.
What's yours?
John says these games don't matter. Throw them all out, which, as a friend of mine said yesterday, well, why even watch them if you're going to throw them out? To me, that team looked listless. That team looked tired. That team didn't play with the defensive intensity that I have come to expect and come to believe that they bring every night. That looked like a tired team that was not really engaged at some point during that game.
All right, Michael, those are the two positions. Who do you side? If you are Judge Judy in this situation, who do you side with?
I side with Mace. He's exactly right. This team, remember, like you always point out, they went to Oklahoma City last year shorthanded and played against a full squad and destroyed Oklahoma City with a bunch of backups. Now, I didn't expect them to beat the Jazz because I predicted a loss. But I expected them to compete better than that, Ireland. You can't make excuses for that.
Okay, so let me ask you about...
believe me, Ireland can make excuses.
Oh, I can make excuses, and I will.
He was great at it yesterday.
Everybody would like to play for a coach like you, Ireland. Oh, don't worry, you're tired. It's okay.
Michael, here's something that I'm glad you brought up, that Oklahoma City game, because I do bring that up a lot. Uh-huh. Michael and I did a game in OKC last year where the Lakers beat the Thunder at full strength. They had Chris Paul. They had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yep.
We were in OKC. And the Lakers won the game by 30 without AD and LeBron.
Right.
Neither one of them played. Michael, the key to that game, Kuzma had a big game, but the guy who was whipping the Lakers into that into shape that night and who made the difference was Rajon Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Lakers miss Rondo more than I thought they would?
No, because when Schroeder's healthy, he's definitely done a good job replacing Rondo. Schroeder's been playing great for the Lakers. Now, we'll have to see what he does in the playoffs, because playoff Rondo is a real thing. But we got to give Dennis a chance to get there. But so far, and this regular season, Dennis has done a good job in the replacement of Rondo.
Yeah, and Schroeder, is it official he's coming back tonight?
I just texted Trudell, and Trudell thinks he's going to play. He's listed as probable. So that means he's cleared protocol, and I would say, Michael, I'd say he's probably likely to play.
Yeah, if he's cleared, he'll play tonight. He's a competitor, and he'll want to be out there, especially against Damian Lillard.
A huge difference, obviously, huge difference defensively tonight with Damian Lillard on the floor. Yep. Lillard seems to have some of his best games against us.
Yeah, of course. He hates the Lakers.
He did that the night we came back from the Kobe Bryant tragedy, the very first game on that Friday night.
There's more to it than just Lillard. and Michael's the perfect guy to talk about this because he began his career in Portland and he played there for 7 years. I don't know how to explain it. Michael, maybe you can. There is a legitimate Laker hatred in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
They hate us. I mean, not dislike. Like, you will never hear the Blazers say, this is just another game. Michael, why do you think, you know, like, I've run the numbers before, and the Lakers' record, even when they had Shaq and Kobe and Kobe and Powell.
Yeah, they went a long stretch.
Was terrible in Portland. Lakers normally win the games here, but Damian Lillard's been the great equalizer. Michael, why do you think there is this, for whatever reason, difference between the Lakers and everybody else on in the minds of the Blazers?
Well, ever since Portland's inception back in the 70s, the Lakers have been the barrier that's prevented the Blazers from getting multiple success. Now, obviously, the Blazers broke through and won a championship, but for the most part, the Lakers have always been the hindrance to the Blazers getting more success. And they up in Oregon, they look at people in the L.A. area as cosmetic and shallow, and they felt like the Showtime, glitzy, glamorous Lakers represented the culture down here. And the blue-collar tree huggers up in Oregon didn't like all that glitz and glamour and shallowness of L.A., and that's part of the hatred.
So, Michael, here's what I believe. I believe that if you can't cut it in L.A., you move to Portland.
Now, why would
Portland
you say that?
Is the place you go if you flame out in L.A. If you try L.A. and it doesn't work, you're like, oh, God, I got to go somewhere. Oh, let's go somewhere.
No,
I'll go to Portland. I'll just wear flannel.
No. I have met people who've moved from L.A. up to Portland. I ask them, well, why would you do that? And they said, because of the cost of living. The quality of life is
exactly what I said.
But
this
doesn't that make sense?
In L.A., you go to Portland.
Michael, address the real heart of Mason's point. What's with the flannel, and what's with the women wearing no makeup?
Well,
and why doesn't anybody up there use deodorant?
Well, we do. Well, we use the deodorant from the leaves. We rub it on from natural stuff. And the flannel keeps us warm in the damp weather up there, Ireland. And what is wrong with seeing a lady with no makeup on? That's natural beauty. Right,
it's like the only place that still has old-fashioned bookstores.
Yeah,
Michael, you probably didn't. Ireland, did you ever watch the show Portlandia?
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, that was a great
show. Oh, it's so fun.
Yep.
They nail Portland.
Yes.
They nail it.
But
that's what it's all about.
But it's quaint. It's traditional. That's nice, isn't it? Everything has to be glitz and glamour and 22nd century, does it?
I believe there's a lot of substance in L.A., Michael, unlike you. I don't believe this town is all about glitz and glamour.
Glitz and glamour?
I believe there is real substance. I believe there are great minds. Like, for example, I
hate
that attitude
live.
San Francisco has about L.A. You know, we wear reading – in San Francisco, we wear reading glasses. We read books. We look down on L.A. There is substance in this town.
Yeah, but you live
there are great writers, great artists all over this city.
You live in a ritzy neighborhood with all these little cafes and
You've
bistros.
Never even been to my house,
but I
so
know,
don't
I'll,
even say that. You've been invited multiple times. You have no idea where I live.
I know the area, though, because I used to, you know, live up in that area. So I know what it's like over there.
By the way, Michael, did you ever go to the, like, Mason, for people who don't know, Mason lives in Venice.
Yeah,
Michael, back in the day when you were a big weightlifter, did you ever go to Gold's Gym in Venice?
That's where I used to work out every day. Are you kidding me? That's where I worked out.
So legendary spot.
Is it true that, like, all the famous, like, Lou Ferrigno and Schwarzenegger and those guys were all in there?
I would be working out there, and there would be Lyle Alzado right next to me. There would be Mr. Universe, Mr. Olympia right there, Miss Olympia. So, yeah, that was to be some fun, man. See all the celebrities in there.
All the celebrities, at Gold's Gym in Venice. That's where I used to work out.
That's right. That's the mecca of bodybuilding.
Back when I used to feel comfortable going into a
gym. Did you go
in
there, Mace? You worked out there?
Oh, yeah, I worked out there.
Nice.
I walked there.
Yeah.
Mace, I don't ever remember you being a weights guy. I remember you being a yogi.
Yeah, I definitely do a lot of yoga. But, no, there was a point at which I went to Gold's Gym. I went less for weights and more for cardio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are like 100 cardio machines
scenery,
150 cardio machines.
The scenery in there. If you're into bodybuilding, the scenery in there was just incredible to see all those men and women with those physiques walking around. Oh, I loved it.
You love women with those physiques?
No,
bodybuilder physique?
Not too so. No, some of them go too far. You know, they kind of do. It's like a woman should not be as muscular as they are in the Miss Olympia contest. Now, in the Miss Fitness contest, those ladies look good.
Yeah.
They're nicely sculpted. But when the woman gets too massive, and I know some people like it, and some ladies like it, and some guys like it, but for me, that's just too far.
All right, coming up next for you, John, believe it or not, I have had a change of opinion. It virtually never happens.
Yeah, right.
Virtually never happens that I change my opinion on anything. but I've had a change of heart about a big topic from yesterday. I'll tell you what that is coming up next. Michael can react too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ES.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN. Hey, thanks a lot for being out there. It is Friday. Always feeling good on a Friday. Lakers taking on Portland tonight. They have been sluggish of late. They struggled the other night at Utah. They're on a losing streak. Portland is also on a losing streak.
You're talking through that nice song. Let George play that song. I love that song. Yeah.
What song is this, Michael?
By Lando, I love this song. Who is this? Iglesias, that's
Dalvin?
Right.
Enrique Iglesias.
This is a great song. You know, Latin music almost as good as reggae music, George. I got to give you credit.
you.
Almost as good. This is a great song, though. I bet you Mason never heard this song.
I think you really underestimate.
Really? You know the song, Mace?
Yeah, no. I know Enrique Iglesias. I know, who else do I have in my playlist? Bad Bunny. I've got Jay Balvin.
I can see you, Salsa, you and Jose Salsa. And Salsa
it's not Jose, but thank you. We're going to continue to just alternate Latino names.
Okay, hey, so Mace, what in the world, you've got me curious now. What in the world have you changed your mind about?
So yesterday, we talked about it. The idea that the NBA should change its logo, and this was originally Kyrie's idea.
I was going to ask you guys about this.
Change the logo to a silhouette of Kobe Bryant. And I think we were all in yesterday. I was all in. John, right. I think you were all in.
Yeah, I would do it. If it was up to me, I would do it.
Not me.
In fact, Jeannie Buss, first of all, Vanessa did tweet that she loved the idea. On Instagram, Jeannie Buss actually quote tweeted one of our polls about it and said she supports the idea.
Mace, before you say why you wouldn't do it, Michael, why wouldn't you do it?
I think it's disrespectful of Jerry West. We all know he's the logo. He's the prop, along with Bill Russell, Jerry West is probably the most respected NBA figure living or dead in this league. So why are you going to disrespect Jerry doing that?
Well, Michael, you know, Jorge, do you have the clip from Jerry West yesterday?
I know. He said he's for it. He doesn't mind if they change it. But still.
No, he doesn't say he doesn't mind it. He doesn't want it.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to Jerry West. This is Jerry West. He was asked about it 3 years ago on The Jump.
If they ever did an updated logo, there's someone in particular who should be on it?
You know, first of all, I wish that had never gotten out that logo. I do. Really.
Why? It's the best nickname ever,
really
by
do.
The way.
And I've said it more than once. And, you know, it's flattering if that's me. And I know it is me.
Yes.
But it is flattering. And but to me, as I say, I played in the time when they first started to try to market the league. There were five people that they were going to consider. And I didn't find out about it until... Well, the late commissioner told me about it, Walter Kennedy. And then, obviously, the New York Times had a big article about it. But, again, it's flattering, but it's also, I think, if I were the NBA, I would be embarrassed about it. I really would.
Why?
Because I don't know. I just say, I don't like to do anything to call attention to myself. When people say that, that's just not who I am, period.
Wow.
And if they would want to change it, I wish they would. In many ways, I wish they would.
Really?
Yes.
You'd like to see them change it?
I would,
And
yes.
Do you have a pick for who you would like to replace?
I would be biased. I'm not going
to
say.
You're allowed to be biased. He's
maybe right here. Maybe they could put the commissioner on there.
Oh.
Okay.
Aww.
Adam Silver would look great.
How did we not think of that one? How did we not think of that?
All right, now, Michael, so he
doesn't
want it.
Wouldn't Adam Silver be a great silhouette on the NBA logo?
What would be the pose? sitting at a desk?
Yeah, sitting at a desk. that's kind of his job.
Jerry's just humble, man. He's just a very humble man. That's why he's feeling this way. And, you know, of course, he has his opinion to feel that way. That's fine. But I like the fact that Jerry's on there because it gives an homage and it gives respect to who came before, the history of the game, the guys who came before. And Kobe's
very
worthy. But then again, Ireland, people will say, and Boston will go, well, why not Bill Russell? And then people will say, and Chicago, well, why not Michael Jordan?
Okay, so two things. number one, the reason Kyrie is pushing it is the way he phrased it was, black kings built this league. And for the most part, he's right. I mean, for every Jerry sure. West, there were five black guys who were as instrumental to the start of the league.
Probably more.
Yeah, I mean, Wilt, Bill Russell, I mean, you can make a list. Michael Jordan, all those guys. So that's part one of Kyrie's take. And the other thing is, Michael, I think that as soon as Kobe died, the league was so shocked that they've been struggling with a way to come up with a way to honor him, to memorialize him. Now, they named the All-Star Game MVP after him. That doesn't seem like it's enough. I think the fact that all the other names that we would consider, except maybe Wilt, are still alive, and Kobe passed away, it's a two-part thing. It's like, one, you would get an African-American logo, and two, you would honor a guy that you've been trying to figure out a way how to honor. What do you think of that?
Okay, hang on a second. Let's make a list, okay? Let's make a list. Five greatest players of all time. Five greatest players of all time.
That's
Does
easy.
Anybody have Kobe at number one?
No.
I don't know if anybody has Kobe in the top five.
Okay, so then why make that the silhouette of the NBA logo?
For the two reasons I explained. You're trying to find a way to memorialize him, to keep
sure.
him in the hearts and
why
minds
not come
of
up,
NBA fans.
Why not come up with another award like most competitive player? Because Kobe was known for his competitiveness. You don't think that would work?
Well, Michael, you could name the regular season MVP after him.
Isn't that named after someone already?
No. The finals,
it isn't?
The finals MVP is named after Bill Russell.
I didn't know that. I didn't know
the MVP
trophy didn't
have the... Kobe only won one MVP.
Right.
Well, that's okay.
Right.
Now, there you go, Arlen. That makes more sense. I didn't know the regular season MVP did not have a name attached to it.
But you could certainly make the point that he should have won more than one. And by naming the MVP trophy
sure.
after him,
that's a great idea.
That would be an honor. I'm not in favor of changing the logo.
Me either. So
I agree with Jerry West. The logo is meant to be sort of generic. We know it's Jerry West.
Right. But wait a minute.
Would you guys change the Major League logo? You know who that is?
Harmon Killebrew.
That's right. So should we put Willie Mays or Hank Aaron there instead?
But here's the problem. Black Kings didn't build Major League Baseball the way they did the NBA. There are a lot of great black baseball players, but the NBA is 80% black.
To bring race into it, though.
Right, but Michael, but Kyrie did. Kyrie's point is, hey, we built the league. African-Americans built the league. Jerry West was part of it, but it seems if there's ever a logo that should be a black guy, it's the NBA, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, you had great white players, too.
Right. But
yeah,
saying.
I totally get Kyrie's point. The idea that an African-American player should be the logo does make sense. At the same time, I don't think we're supposed to know, and we happen to know, that it's Jerry West.
Oh, yeah,
most people do not know it's Harmon Killebrew.
That's true. You're right.
It's meant to be generic baseball guy.
Yeah.
And this is meant to be generic basketball guy.
They got Jerry's logo off of a picture. So
is that what it was?
Yeah, they had a picture of him dribbling like that, and that's the logo that whoever the design logos decided to use.
And by the way, since we're kicking this around, if we were going to change it to Kobe, I think I would argue for Kareem shooting a skyhook,
sure.
too.
He's worthy of it. You're right. So is Jordan. So is Bill Russell.
So when you start talking about – here's one thing that swings it back over to your guys' side. When you start talking about changing it, there are so many worthy other guys that it's almost insulting to pick one. Mm-hmm. But for the two reasons I mentioned, number one, that Kobe passed away shockingly and everybody's been trying to figure out a way – like, we were all at his service. The – people were at a loss for words on how to describe the impact that Kobe had. And if you look at the speakers that day, it was Michael Jordan. It was Shaq. It was guys that, will be on the same list as him as, could be the logo. And nobody knew what to say. If you made him the logo, that kind of says it all.
Well, somebody's going to ask Adam Silver about Kyrie's comments, and Silver will have to figure out what he's going to say.
Yeah, doesn't he normally do a press conference at the All-Star game?
Yeah, you're right. So that's probably where it'll come up.
So that's probably where
he Adam
will
Silver's
be asked.
Great in those situations. Though,
by the way, KD is out for the All-Star game, so who do you think should pick?
Oh, that's right. KD's out.
Yeah. I'm going to make a prediction. You know who Silver's going to pick? Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah, well, wait a minute.
Front court guy.
Yeah, Domantas Sabonis is having a great year.
Yeah, he's really good.
So, Michael, what about, who's gonna pick with LeBron? Who's going to pick the team?
KD will still do it. He still can pick Ireland. Just not playing, but he'll still pick.
Would they be allowed to put Trae Young in?
Oh, yeah, they're right. That's another guy.
Trae Young is scoring like 28 a game.
Yeah, so let me be Trae Young or Sabonis. One of those two guys will get the replacement.
Yeah. 877-710-ESPN. You want to jump into the conversation at any point, go ahead and do it. By the way, if you ever get onto the show, if you pass through the really, really difficult screening process, you win a Mason and Ireland T-shirt. But coming up next for you is Dave Pasch from ESPN. He is going to be calling tonight's Lakers-Portland game. He also called the Jazz-Lakers game on Wednesday night. So we'll get him in here, get his impressions of this Lakers team right now. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What a way to go, huh? What a way to go. All right. Boy, people take game of game seriously. You can always email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. John, what's your email address?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
venicemace@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. Hey, William Fields writes, although I appreciate your love of dogs, please remember that dogs are animals and not human beings. Putting your life at risk, throwing yourself in front of a car, and placing an animal life on the same level as human beings is fanatical and inappropriate. You love animals, but stop. They are not the same value as human life.
Well, he's, I guess, in the minds of a court of law, of course he's right. I'm just telling you that I would do it. You would do it. Lindsay,
I disagree with that man completely. I don't think that, you know, whatever.
There are many, many people that would do it. So
right. And it's,
I'm not saying that guy's wrong. I'm just saying that I'd go the other way on it. If my dog ran out in front of a car, I would run in front of the car to stop it.
And it's the results of a poll. I mean, the poll said 72% of dog owners would do it. So obviously, people place a lot of value in their dogs. Nobody means to equate dogs and people.
All right, so here's an interesting thing. I don't know if Michael's still there.
Yeah, still here.
Clay has this dog, Rocco.
Yeah.
Rocco is around so much that when the Warriors did a bobblehead of Clay, they put Rocco on the bobblehead. I mean, it's kind of well known that anywhere Clay goes, Rocco goes. And, Michael, I think the little that I know about their relationship, if Rocco jumped in front of a car, Clay's got a $200 million contract and he would go after Rocco.
Oh, yeah, he'd try to save him, no question, because Rocco's basically his son.
Yeah.
Even though if he had a son, obviously he'd value his real son more than Rocco. But, you know, he loves that dog. And Rocco's, well, I don't even want to talk about it. He's, what, 9 years old now? And Bulldogs usually live until, for what, how long, Mace? About 10, 11?
10, 11, yeah, that sounds about right.
It's going to be rough.
Hey, guys, this just in, Michael, it turns out you're right, from our buddy Mark Stein, the lead NBA writer at the New York Times, Indiana's Domantas Sabonis will replace Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
they've already
go.
Decided.
Yeah, very boy. I bet you.
No,
you
I thought
know
that
who's...
was a totally fine. I throw out Trae Young's name just because I know he's ripping it up right now.
Yeah, but you know he's really mad. He's seething right now, basically, that he was selected. By the way, did you guys hear about the Raptors coaching staff?
No, what happened?
The whole coaching staff is out for tonight's game. Contact tracing. So you know what I suggested? You know, if they need a coach, let Kyle Lowry coach. He could do it.
You know, what are they? Someone has to do it, right? Are they bringing up their G League coach?
I guess so.
Is Masai Ujiri going to go do it?
I guess so. They'll have to do maybe a G League coach to come. But they should just let Kyle Lowry coach tonight. Player coach. He could do it. He's smart. He's a veteran. I bet you he could do it.
Been there a long time. Yeah. He's really the face of the franchise.
I'd love to see let him coach tonight.
He's probably the greatest player in the franchise.
Michael,
history,
right before you came into the league, Bill Russell was a player coach.
Yes, he was. He was the last. Him, Lenny Wilkins was the last player coach, I believe, for Cleveland. But, Kyle Lowry could easily do it tonight if he wanted to do it just for a game or two.
Okay, I've got an interesting subject here. Richard Stevens, who is a renowned psychologist, says that bad behaviors actually have upsides. He's talking about swearing. Hmm. He says, it is not just your imagination. studies confirm that swearing really does help you deal with frustration.
Oh, yeah.
It bonds you with friends. And he says, quote, there are many well-documented benefits of swearing, including improving pain tolerance, boosting physical strength, and helping social cohesion. He says, using profanity is linked to higher intelligence. Michael, you are not someone who swears.
No.
Swears.
I don't swear. I try not to swear. The only time I do let it out, because I just can't help myself, and Ireland would definitely understand this and identify with this, and millions of people listening to the show will identify with it. If I somehow reach a par 5 and 2, and I leave a eagle putt like 2 or 3 feet short,
right,
I got to let out the little word that rhymes with truck.
In that case, I think it is not only understandable, but recommended.
Yeah. What's your choice of swear words?
When
is
I leave an eagle
the
putt.
The S word, the F word.
When I leave an eagle putt short, or if I three putt, I got to, okay, I hate to admit this, and God forgive me and everybody else forgive me, I do have to let out a word that rhymes with truck.
Yeah.
Right.
I think a lot of people do.
No, I use
now,
that
Mace,
word
Now, Mace, did you
always.
Watch... It came out at Christmas time. You said you were going to try and find time to watch it. Did you watch History of Swear Words on Netflix?
Yeah, you know, I did. I didn't like it. Did you like it?
I okay. All honesty, I gave up on it.
I gave up on it, too. I
looked it up one time. I looked
monotonous.
It up. So where did the swear word, like the F word, where did that come from? I think it originated from Scotland, I believe, or from England. I think that's when it started, like hundreds of years ago.
I wonder if there's anywhere in the world where it's not a swear word. Like, it's just part of the vocabulary.
Probably in the Bahamas, because they even use the word in church.
Well, you know, the C word is commonly used in Great Britain.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
In front of women?
That is the most offensive word, in my opinion.
Right, but
it doesn't use.
It doesn't mean that in Britain. They have a different meaning for it.
Really?
So it does get used a lot. Yeah, I've heard it used. By the way, I was bagging on Portland a little bit earlier, and L.A. Was perceived as fake, is what Michael says. Here's Big
Zoob.
Well,
LA is fake. I mean,
Big,
come on.
Big Zoob 87 tweets, makeup, because, John, you were saying women in Portland don't wear makeup. Makeup is a lie.
That's right. Good point. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, but LA is fake. I'm born and raised in LA. It's gatekept by people who are already rich and successful. Who you know, not what you know, BS. Don't at me with that. Can't cut it blank. It's 2021, not the 70s anymore.
Well, here's the thing. If you think makeup is a lie, what's wrong with presenting the best version of yourself?
Yeah.
In other words, people like knock women that get breast enhancements.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. If you think it makes you look better and it gives you more confidence, and in a lot of cases, both those things are true. Well, you be you. Go for it.
Lindsay's there. Let's ask a lady. Lindsay, do you feel more confident with makeup on or just going au naturel?
I think that most women are going to say that they feel better with makeup on. Mm-hmm. I think that's no lie or, you know.
Do you cake it? Do you cake it on or you just apply a little?
I don't wear face makeup. I just wear eye makeup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I don't want to speak out of line, but we've talked before about stuff like Botox and fillers, and I also don't have a problem with that. Do you, Lindsay?
No. I think most people I feel like around my age, I feel like most women do Botox and or fillers of some kind. And I don't know. I don't see a problem with that. And I feel like if it's just like wearing hair extensions or putting makeup on.
What about lip enhancers?
What's wrong with that? I don't think there's anything wrong with any of it.
I think that one gets out of hand.
The lips?
Yeah, but it's great when it gets out of hand.
That's just, it's just your opinion, though. You know?
No, right. My opinion is it gets out of hand. Like, for example,
Lisa Rinna, I tell my wife all the time, when do I get the full Lisa Rinna lips?
See, now I think Lisa Rinna looks like a duck.
I think Lisa Rinna looks great.
No, she's a handsome woman, Mace.
No,
come
she's
on.
A good, believe me, and she's older than you think she is. She looks great.
Yeah, she's done.
But I think the duck lip thing is a little too much.
A little go too far, huh, sometimes.
Yeah, a little too far for my taste. For my taste. All right, coming up next for you, Dave Pasch is going to join us. Dave called the Lakers Jazz game on Wednesday night. He's calling Lakers versus Portland tonight. Get his impression on the Lakers as they are right now. And by the way, he is calling 6 games in 6 days. He's in the middle of that streak
right
now.
That sounds like Dave.
Yeah, so yeah. Dave is coming up next for you. He made some time for us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. People love nonsense. By the way, Bilal tweets, it is funny Michael Thompson saying Sabonis should replace KD in the All-Star game. That was already done. Maybe he Googled that too.
Now, how about this tweet?
I thought that was just announced today.
From Abraham Hosea. Please, please, please cue me in on when you'll be holding court with Michael. I'm usually always listening, burning errands today. I will plan my schedule around this. When are we doing Michael's trial?
3:30.
Okay.
3:30 is Michael's trial.
I'm not showing up for no kangaroo court.
Joining us right now.
It's your game today.
I'm going to send my attorneys to represent me.
Who's your attorney?
Who are they?
Is Laura Romo around?
Come on, man.
All right, joining us right now, I don't want to hold him any longer, is the guy who's going to be calling Lakers-Portland tonight. He called Lakers-Jazz on Wednesday night. He's in a streak of 6 games in 6 days. Dave Pasch is on the line. Hey, Dave, thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate it.
Mason, Ireland, what's going on? Dave, how are we doing?
No, we're great, Dave, and we appreciate you doing this. So I get to see Dave occasionally, and Dave will back me up on this. Neither one of us are sure when that's going to be. Sometimes, Dave, you're doing games from site, and you'll be at Staples Center. Other times, I see you doing it from your house. Literally, you're at your house, your analyst is at their house. What's the biggest challenge with that? The difference between doing a game when you're in the building and doing a game when you're at your house?
Well, you know, John, I'm so used to it now. I honestly have not really given it that much thought anymore.
Really?
It's become the norm. The games in person now are rare. Like, I'm coming for the Warriors game. That's going to be in person on Sunday. And I've got to kind of remember, like, okay, what was the setup like when we were there last time? And you kind of just you forget what it's like to do a game in person, because almost all of the games I've been doing have been from home. It is still weird, obviously. Now that, you know, when you were asking, I'm thinking about it. I mean, just the whole idea of, you know, me, you know, being able to drive my son to school, you know, help my wife out around the house, do whatever's needed to be done, and, oh, go call a game in an hour. I mean, the other night I made dinner, I think, right until about 20 minutes before tip-off. Of course, that game was with Bill. I wasn't going to talk anyway, so it really didn't matter how much prep was done.
So, Dave, you did the Lakers on Wednesday night. You did Lakers-Jazz. And coming Correct. Away from that game, and I expected the Lakers to lose the game. As a Lakers fan, I was being realistic. Jazz, white hot, Lakers without AD, without Schroeder. What I didn't expect, and Ireland disagrees with this, I felt like there was generally a lack of defensive intensity. I thought they were listless. I thought they were sluggish. And I didn't think there was a lot of fight in that team. What did you think?
And, Dave, before you answer, my argument back was Utah's doing that to everybody, that Utah's making every team in the league look like they play listless defense. What was your take?
Yeah, Mark Jackson made the point, and I agree with him, that they just didn't look like there was a lot of energy defensively. I was surprised by that. I see your point that, yes, Utah, I mean, they have a 5-game lead on everybody else, so they're clearly, at least for now, the best team in basketball. But I was surprised, given that the Lakers had lost 3 in a row, I was expecting a little more fight defensively. It is kind of demoralizing when a team comes out and just hits 3 after 3 after 3, and they miss AD. Obviously, defensively, they're not as good without Anthony Davis, but that was surprising on Wednesday.
Dave, when you look at Utah, and you just called them, people ask me, are they a hot team or are they a really good team? Have they kind of arrived in the Western Conference? I love Quinn Snyder. He used to be one of our assistants. He's super smart. But I can't tell. They did lose to the Clippers a week ago. I can't tell if they're just a great regular season team, and we see those teams a lot, or maybe that they've found something and they're going to be one of the places you have to go through if you're going to win a title. What do you think?
You know, I did that game against the Clippers. The Clippers were at full strength, and they looked like the better team. But with that said, looking at the grand picture for at least the regular season, Utah, other than losing Conley for 6 games with the hamstring, the Jazz have been at full strength, and it shows. But I do think, because the Clippers haven't been whole, the Lakers haven't been whole, and we all know the playoffs are an entirely different animal, that it's hard to say. And I think I opened the show with this the other night, and some Jazz fans were were upset about it, that, hey, the best team in basketball is on TV tonight, at least according to the standings. And it's not the Lakers. They didn't like that.
Right,
but it's
right.
True. It's like the standings say they're the best team and the best team by far, but we all know that you got to beat LeBron James in the playoffs to be the best team. That hasn't happened very often. So it's really hard to say that they're a championship team yet.
In your mind, Dave, are the Lakers, obviously coming off an NBA title back in, I guess it was November now, or late October, do you believe the Lakers are still, with Anthony Davis and obviously Schroeder coming back on the floor, hopefully tonight, are still the favorites to win the NBA championship in your mind?
I do. Here's why. I think, obviously, they're different. Their bench is different than it was last year. They're different on the interior with Gasol, who's not really playing on the interior, and that's why they're different. Than they were last year with McGee and Dwight Howard at center. I just think that they still have the best team. They have the best personnel. Montrezl Harrell is still a great addition. And until the Clippers can show that their chemistry is real, that they are not the team they were in the bubble last year, which, you know, we all saw was not a great team, I still think it's the Lakers that is the team to beat. But the Clippers are close in terms of talent. Utah is very talented and plays great as a team. I think those are right now the three teams you have to look at in the West. I think the team that is really intriguing, and I know I'm not the only one that feels this way. It's not like this is a shocking comment, but the team that's really intriguing is Brooklyn. I mean, they're winning eight in a row without Durant, and those three guys seem like they are committed to making this work, and that was my question all along. Again, let's see when adversity hits. But, like, Boston has been surprisingly poor. Philly, I don't know that I still can, like Utah, I don't know that I can call Philly a championship team because we need to see it in the playoffs with them.
Dave, a lot of talk about the MVP, and it's early. We're coming up on the halfway point. I think it's going to help LeBron that he's played every game and that the Lakers still have the third or fourth best record in the league. I'm incredibly biased, as you know, because I call every LeBron game. So I would lean that way, but I love Joel Embiid. I think he's like a force of nature, and he really doesn't have any weaknesses to his game, plays both sides of the ball. If you had to vote for an MVP right now, would it be one of those two guys or somebody else?
And I do have a vote, and if I were voting today, it would be LeBron. I think what he's done is remarkable at his age. I did a Zoom with Carmelo Anthony about tonight's game, and you know what Carmelo is doing. Like, if you look at Carmelo Anthony, if LeBron James wasn't in the NBA, you'd say, man, how is Carmelo in his 18th year at age 36 having the type of season that he's having? And he's averaging half of what LeBron James is averaging in terms of points, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole 15-5-5 streak, the fact that nobody had done that 32 straight games, I was really surprised at. But the fact he did it, and the only reason he didn't get it again was because, you know,
no fourth quarter.
Blowout, he
yeah.
needed to play in the fourth quarter, right? So I'd pick him right now, and I'm not sure that it's close.
So how do you do it, Dave? I mean, we do five shows a week, right? And we do, you know, 3 hours a day. You are doing six consecutive days. You did Lakers-Jazz, then you did a college game. Now you're doing Lakers-Portland. You've got another college game tomorrow, and then you've got Lakers-Golden State on Sunday. How do you prep all those games, and do you get tired? And what's that a streak like that? Like, I don't think I could do it.
Your memory is better than mine. I almost forgot which game I had coming up. No, I'm just kidding. But it's, you know, having the Lakers three in a row does help. And, you know, we've had our Pac-12 games, we've had all those teams multiple times. So that does make it easier. And as I said, I really don't talk during our college broadcast anyway, so it's not like a real game. Bill Walton talks for most of it, so technically it's, you know, probably an eighth of the prep that an NBA game is. But, you know, normally there are a lot of weeks during a normal year where I'm doing 3 and 3 days or 3 and 4 days or sometimes 4 and 4 days, and that was with travel. It does make it easier. You know, I am flying to L.A. for the game Sunday, but other than that, all the games during the stretch are home. So it does make it a lot easier.
Well, Dave, you're making it look super easy, man. I forget when I'm watching these games that you're doing some of these from your house, which is the biggest compliment I can give you. There is no way to tell when I'm watching you that these game that you're not in the building. And there's an art to that, and you have I don't know how, but you have somehow perfected it. So keep it up.
Well, I appreciate that. It is challenging. It is different. You just try to bring the same energy that you would if you're at the arena, and you know, when Bill and I are doing a college game, still have that chemistry and back and forth like you would when you're in the building. I hope we don't do this too well that this is all we do.
Amen.
Going forward.
Yeah,
doing
amen.
The games from home, but I do think this is probably, in so you know, it's here to stay in some form. I don't know what it will look like going forward, but now that they've pulled this off, and if you would have told me February 26th last year, hey, you're going to do one game from home, I would have said, you're crazy. How are you going to pull that off? And now we're doing a lot of games from home and big games. So, and they've been able to, I mean, the people, the technical people that have been able to pull this off.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. So, it's just nice to be working. I'll put it that way. It's great to be able to do these games wherever we're doing them from.
Cool. Well, Dave, I'll be watching tonight. Thank you very much for coming on.
All right. Sounds good, guys. We'll see you,
Thank you, Dave.
On Sunday.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks.
There's Dave Pasch, ESPN. He's calling the game tonight. Is that game on Spectrum, too, or is it only on ESPN?
I think it's a double. I think Billy Mack and Stroller are doing it, too. I'll double check it, but I'm pretty sure they
Because I'm very loyal to Billy Mack and Stu. And I love their
But here's the thing. You just – and we're all – you did exactly what I would do. We just had Dave on.
Yep.
You'll say, I'll be watching is the polite and friendly thing to do, even if you're watching the other channel. I mean, you
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't, but I didn't know if it was on the other channel, so I thought I would be watching Dave. Like the TMT nights, obviously, it's not Billy and Stu.
No, well, not always. If it's a Thursday night, it's TNT's exclusive night.
Right.
But there is a limit on how many games you can take from the local broadcaster. I think it's 18. In other words, so the NBA is allowed to take the Lakers 18 times and run them exclusively on a network. Once they go over that number, then Spectrum gets to come in because it protects their rights fee and their original investment.
Got it.
That's the biggest difference between TV and radio. Michael and I do every game no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if the network's doing the game on network radio. We're doing every game, home, road, playoff, preseason. Spectrum has restrictions that are too long to go into, but it's about 18 games.
You know what's you guys don't get to see the pregame that Spectrum does with Chris McGee and
the great James Worthy.
James Worthy, obviously.
By the way, Mace, shout out James Worthy's 60th birthday tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
He has one. Enjoy your last day of your 50s.
Happy
big
birthday,
game.
Man.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. You know who's turning into a big star over there? Robert Horry. He makes me laugh during those pregame shows
too.
And during that
halftime. He's doing some of the jump. He's doing some ESPN stuff, too.
Yeah, he is great. He is great. All right, coming up next for you, we'll dig in. There's an interesting story here about Mike Tyson and a miniseries that they are planning about Mike Tyson's life. He's not liking it very much. I'll bounce that off you coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.